Right, you'll have to bear with me this morning because already I feel wrecked. But when I say I feel wrecked, it's a nice wrecking in a way. Because God wrecks you. Who knows that they've been wrecked by God at times? Oh my goodness. You don't know what to do with yourself, do you? And I think it just leaves you in awe and wonder. And so please bear with me this morning. I want to pick up on this dream thing, and I'm thinking, oh, God, you're so kind. It's almost like you've made entrance to a degree of something else you want to bring this morning. And because I always ask God, what's on your heart, Lord? That's the most important thing for me, is what is on your heart, Lord? Because it's the best, isn't it? What is on his heart. But to go back to those dreams, and it's interesting that Alec brought something just to add to all that Sue was talking about, her desires. These aren't just dreams, but they are heart's desires. And God is very interested in our heart's desires, because he says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Yeah, I'm not sure where that is in scripture, but it's he is interested in our makeup. He's very interested in how he's created us, because he created us. And as we know, who's unique in this room? Totally unique. There's not one person here that is the same as another person. We might have the same feelings towards something, but spiritually there's something about us that is so unique. It just fascinates me. And I find that exciting, because that points to our Creator, who made us anyway. Yeah? Well, he made me. Because he created me, even in his own image. I don't quite get that. Somebody will have to teach me something about that. Or is it just because he wants us to look like him? To be Christ-like. Fascinating, isn't it? So I'm really interested in what has already come out this morning through Sue and Alec. And I think there's a bit of a connection there in what I want to speak about this morning, or what God wants to talk about this morning. And it's almost like a follow-on from Ephesians, where, yeah, the beautiful book of Ephesians, it, you know, you read it from 1 to the, you know, 1 to 6, chapter 6. It's all about our life in Jesus Christ now, because we're new creations. Yeah? Are we born again? But this is encouraging for who haven't joined in that journey yet. This is what happens to you. You become a new creation. You are now in Christ. Sue made that very clear this morning. It's all unto Christ, in Christ. We live for Christ. We don't live for ourselves any longer, do we? He is our main source. He is our only source that we go to. Anyway, I'm going to stop waffling. But I also wanted to add something that Sue Shaw put up on a post the other, I think it was the prayer app. And I don't know where she got it from. And there's just a couple of I don't think it's scripture. She'll know where it come from. But it's God's heart. And it said, today God is releasing grace to tenaciously find solutions where there does not seem to be a solution. You know, and we've heard Steve speak of that this morning. He is tenaciously going to find a solution for what you need, Steve. Because you're crying out for it, aren't you? It's a desire on your heart. It's a dream. It's a vision you've got to find a solution to that. So where there doesn't seem to be an answer, God is saying this morning, I've got an answer for you guys, whatever you need. And then these words went on to say, thank you, Father, that I and the people all around me are breaking through barriers, limitations, obstacles and ceilings. Do you remember putting this on, Sue? Yeah. Yeah? So you know where I'm coming from. No. And that is God's promise to us. He's got the solutions because he is our source. And what you said this morning, Sue, was one of your dreams. I don't know what number it was. You've got them numbered. Was to sing songs of deliverance. Now, this isn't just a dream. This is something much deeper for you, Sue. You know that. And he's saying, yes, my girl. He's saying that to you this morning. I have put that desire in your heart, Sue. And I'm going to do it. And I think he's just releasing a fresh hope over you right now. That will be fulfilled. And that's not a pressure. It's a delight, isn't it? You delight to do his will, don't you? So I just speak that over you now, Sue. That he's heard you. He's in agreement with you. And you're just going to partner with him in that. And you'll know when, where, if not to. You'll know all that because you walk closely with him. And it's almost like all this has got nothing to do with what I was going to bring, but I think it has. I think it's linked. So we've been looking at Ephesians, and you know the first three chapters is more about this is your identity, guys, because you are now in me. And I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless you. He can't help but bless us, can he? Because he's a father who delights in his children. Yeah? Absolutely delights in every one of you. And if there's any of you here that don't know him yet, God the Father says, I delight in you. Receive that. If you need to know that, that's what he says to you. I delight in you because I'm your Father in heaven. And you might not know me yet, child, but I know you. You might not know me, but I know you. And I'm going to pour out my love on you, and I'm going to lavish my love on you because he's so generous, isn't he? And if you need to hear that this morning, take it. Anyway, back to Ephesians. I will get there in a minute. So we've moved on to chapter 4. And there's a change in chapter 4 than even the first. I always find that there's such a change. It's a very subtle change of it's beginning to talk about walking with God. Yeah, and this is all about our daily walk. And the first verse in Ephesians 4, if you've got your Bibles, is therefore, and this is Paul, the apostle speaking. And is he on house arrest or is he actually in prison? Don't know. House arrest, we think, yeah. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. Just hold that word, calling. For you have been called by God. In other words, there's a calling on our lives now. We're not our own anymore. Like Anne, she's having this beautiful discovery of, yes, Lord. Aren't you, Anne? It is, it's like, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And he has such a beautiful call on our life. It's not to control us in any way, but it's that we can walk with him and walk in freedom with him. He doesn't control, but he guides and he leads. He's a good, good father, yes? He's a good, good father. It's okay to agree. And verse 2 says, always be humble and gentle. And he taught me that again this morning. We had a little thingy going on. And it was almost like, Sylvia. But he means it in such a beautiful way. And I've got to read this out now, but about half an hour ago or something, I didn't quite feel 100% humble and gentle. I reacted rather than respond. I reacted, and so I have to read this out, but I've put it right with him, and he has put it, he says it's okay, you know, like he does. Isn't he kind? Do you find him kind? Even when you have a glitch or whatever you want to call them. I've always described it as all the fruit has fallen off my tree. That's just the way that I see it. So it's always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Isn't that astounding? But what I really want to talk about is, so setting the scene, we have been called. What have we been called to? We've been called to look like Jesus, surely. That is our destiny, isn't it? Is that we become more and more Christ-like. Every day, it's, you hear the thing, glory to glory. You're going from glory to glory. And it's all about surrendering. It's all about, yes, Lord. But down to verse 7, he says, however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. And these gifts he's talking about in Ephesians 4 are spiritual gifts. And I remember, I think it was a few months ago now, it came out in the church about all our beautiful gifts, didn't it? Do you remember that? I think it was in a family thing. We was thinking about of all the gifts that we've got in each other. Who sees the gifts in each other? Do you see it? I see it so clearly when I walk in. I see, oh, look, there's that person there just releasing their gift. And you know, the minute that we're born again, he gives us gifts so that we can walk humbly and gently with him and with each other. So don't be frightened of the word spiritual. Because do you know we've been born of the Spirit? The Spirit is living in us, so it's not surprising that we can call them spiritual gifts. But that's not to scare us. It's just how it is. And it's in the book. So it's like this discovery into, is any of this foreign to some people? Or you know what I'm talking about? Yeah? And then we jump down to verse 11, where it says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Wow. And you can automatically think, well, none of that fits me. But with God, all things are possible. And we know that he calls people out to do those kinds of things. So don't disqualify yourself in any way that these gifts aren't accessible for you. Because if God gives you, God chooses your gift or gifts. If he chooses for you to be a prophet or just to prophesy. We've got many here that prophesy beautifully, haven't we? Yes. This isn't boasting. Please let me say, this isn't boasting. Your gift is not for you to boast on or to run away from because you think, oh, I'd be boasting. These are gifts. Who likes a gift? I love it when people give you a gift. I say thank you. God wants us to say thank you for how you've made me. I'm unique. You know my dreams. You know my heart. You know the desires of my heart. Thank you, Father, for the gifts that you have for me to be able to walk with you and with each other humbly. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? But it's true. This is all God's plan, you know, it's not mine. And following on verse 12, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So there's a reason for God giving you gifts. It's not for you to hold on to any of your spiritual gifts. They're for you to give away. In other words, I love it when I hear beautiful teaching. I love it when I hear people prophesying over someone in the corner. I've got a word for you. But I just want to say at this point that these gifts here, just in Ephesians 6, aren't everything. I can't think of another word to use it. But in 1 Corinthians 12, it is full about teaching on your spiritual gifts. Does anybody know about the 1 Corinthians 12? It's all about your spiritual gifts, what it means, and it teaches about you're in the body and you'll use these gifts and your gifts are important for another person. It's almost like we're not all feet, are we? We're not all hands, we're not all speaking, we're not, right? But the gifts, when we use our gifts, and Timothy talks about stir up the gifts, don't be ignorant of them. Don't feel that you can't receive them. Don't disqualify yourself that God hasn't got anything for me. If you're thinking like that, if you're struggling like that, it's think of who the Father is. And he will speak very tenderly to you. And he'll tell you why he wants you to have beautiful gifts. It's because he loves you. I have to ask, do people know that they have gifts? It's okay to say, yes, I do know how God is, because he knows you. I'm looking at you, Kay, but he knows you through and through, and he knew what your walk was going to be like with him and what your walk was going to be like with other people. And you just ooze your gifts. I want to encourage you in that, Kay. You just ooze your gifts. You give them away. You know that you've received them from God, and you just give them away. You can't help it. You don't even have to think about it or work it out. It's part of you, him in you, using you to build up the next person, to give life to the next person because of what you have received. Usually, you're just passing it on. You can't help yourself. That is just a very simple illustration. And I look around the room and I see it. Do we see the gifts in each other? I see it. I see these hearts here. And more important than me, God sees your heart. And I think he would say to a lot of us here today, thank you for receiving the gifts I've given you, because I'm a good, good father. He is so pleased as we use our gifts. And it's similar, going back to the dream thing. There's almost a connection there. Of what your heart's desire. I'm coming from that place. We know the heart's desire for people. But if you want to learn more about this, really look into 1 Corinthians 12. Love what God is saying. Love what he is saying. Does this make sense to anyone? So then we go down to um, 16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That sums up really all that I've been saying. So he is the giver of gifts. He wants you to receive them. He wants you to stir them up. He wants you to use them, because they're not just for you to receive, but to give it away for the next person. And you know the desires. You know the desires of your heart. We are much different people. Who knows that they're radically different? When I think back to the day of my salvation, I can see it clearly now. My brother took me down to a church, my beautiful brother Paul, he took me down to a church for about 6 months, and it was, I thought they were crazy guys. They were dancing, they were speaking in at something they'd never heard before. they were, and I'm thinking, what are these people on? I had no idea. I knew about God, I knew about his son and all that, but I didn't know much about that. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I don't think I knew he even existed. But after 6 months, I finally said yes. And it radically changed my life. So I went in that evening, and the next morning when I got up, I knew that there was something about me. I didn't have a clue what has happened to me. And my brother taught me a bit. He gave me my first Bible. And then I just began going to church. And you have to learn, and you have to learn, don't you? You know, through life, you just learn more and more, don't you? And that's your glory going to glory. But don't underestimate the power of God working and living in you. Don't underestimate the person of the Holy Spirit in you. We don't have to work at these gifts. It's the Holy Spirit that, and he would just say, go there now and speak to that person. Who has that happened to them when they're out and about? He just leads you to a person. You think, really? Sometimes I think, now, Lord? You start conversation, and before you know it, you're saying, I'll pray for you. I've gone way off my notes. But Spirit-led. And who is the Holy Spirit to us? Yeah, our comforter, our helper, our counselor. And because he lives in us, he dwells in us. He's in me right now. He's in you right now. If you believe in Jesus, there was a promise, I will send you the Holy Spirit because I'm going away. In other words, we knew he was going back to his Father after he died, after he was resurrected, and he went back to his Father. And there is a promise in the Bible that says, I will not leave you alone, but I will send you a helper. It's the promised Holy Spirit. John 14. Thank you. But I think if this is a part of a new journey for you, just remember a few things, that it's because God so loves you that he will give you these precious gifts. That is his motive. Because he knows that you've got to walk. You've got to walk on this earth. He knows what we go through. And we all know that we're not exempt from tough times, are we? We know that. But walking with him, he is our source. And there comes a time when I pick you up, I dust you down, child, and let's take another step again. And I've got this thing about at the moment, God gave me a word in the prayer, whatever we call ourselves, on a Wednesday. And it was, the only thing he gave me was step in time. And I thought, and all I could think about, have I spoke about this before? And all I could think about was the song in Mary Poppins. Who remembers them dancing on the roofs? Yeah? Yeah, anyway, if you start singing it, I'll be singing it all day. But he gave me that picture to go with Step in Time. If you ever Google it or however you can get it up, if you watch it, it's quite fascinating because they have so much precision in their steps. And it's a bit dicey, isn't it? Dancing on rooftops, don't you think? Do you think it's a bit dangerous? Yeah. Yeah, health and safety. Did Mary Poppins know anything about health and safety? Did she care? She didn't. Anyway, before you know it, she's joined in and she's twirling in the air. And I thought, oh my goodness, God, you don't do that to me. But he might one day, who knows? Because she twirled, didn't she? But if you get a moment, have a look at that. But then I had to get a bit serious and say, what are you saying, Lord? Because I believe that when he speaks to me, he'll give me something a bit strange, but there's something usually behind it. And I think this is just another opportunity speaking today, is take a step with him in his timing. When you look at it like that, he's inviting you to stir up your gifts and to step out and use them. And we're seeing that across the church. It's evident. The love for one another, the help for one another, the words for one another. So he's just saying, listen, I invite you to listen to what I'm saying. Step up, step in, step out, whichever way it comes. And know my timing as well. And I think that's very important, knowing God's timing. I know there have been times when I have really blown it and I've gone ahead of God. Has anybody else done that? And I've spoke too soon. I've gone out in my own strength. And it's almost like, well, God, don't you back me up on that? And he says, Sylvia, what about me? You didn't do it in my timing. But he's kind. So step in time with God. And just watch that film clip if you dare. Because it's a crazy way to live, isn't it, in a way? It's risky. We've had that this morning, haven't we? It's all about taking risks. So if you feel that you want to stir up your gifts, test it out. Test it out. You nurture it. But there's a time when, how am I going to give this away? And God will lead you into a situation. He will place you. Once you're yes, Lord, to all these things, he puts people across, you know. I mean, where I live, there's hundreds of opportunities for me to bless, to be an encourager, to speak out some life words, to say, well, I'll pray for you. Wherever you are, don't underestimate the Holy Spirit in you will enable you. He will urge you, he will egg you on to, yes. Come on, son, come on, girl. So, I just want to, if you don't know anything about gifts, you don't know anything about your spiritual gifts, ask God. Ask your Father in heaven, the one who gives blessings and gifts to his children. If you don't know, ask God. Or ask someone else. I've had people say to me, Sylvia, that is part of your gifting. And I thought, what? But then they will give you a little bit more and explain to you. And it might even be a prophetic word that you've had even years ago. There might be a clue in a prophetic word of what your gifting is. But it's okay to have gifts that you give away. It is all to do with belonging to him, knowing he's yours. And the last thing I want to say was, I saw this prophetic word somewhere. Can't remember where it was now, but it says, step into my realm of limited resources. It's interesting, isn't it? Caught my eye. Step into my realm, because that his realm is his kingdom, and we are now in the kingdom of God, yes? We're not in the kingdom of darkness anymore, we're in the kingdom of light. And he even calls us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Meet with me and be made complete. So step into this beautiful resource that he has given you. Use it and bless someone else. Amen. And amen.